So we started last week in this new series, Finding Freedom from the Prisons of a Self-Centered Life. And last week, if we remember, we saw that our real enemy wasn't Satan. Remember that? That, you know, yes, the enemy is, he's a force to be reckoned with. But if we remember that our true enemy lies closer to home, it lies within us. And, you know, yes, we do battle. We battle against spiritual forces. The Bible does speak of spiritual forces in heavenly places and in the high places, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. We know that there are demons. You know, I'm not undermining, I'm not, putting down or discounting any of that. But what I hope that we took from last week, that the premise is that you know, we are not to just start pointing our fingers at, it must be the devil that did this. Or, you know, the devil made me do it, right? You know, how many of us are, it must have been the devil. It must have been Satan's. You know, and too often, you know, we're looking for the enemy around every corner, under every stone. When reality is, we need to look within ourselves, amen? We need to see what is really inside of us and what are the blind areas that we are not seeing that are really causing or disrupting our walk, our maturity, our going further in God. And the Lord brought me to this passage in Isaiah 6. I'm going to begin with in Isaiah 6, verse 5. Isaiah 6, 5 says, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it's very interesting here. So he starts off and you know, he's not blaming the devil. He's not blaming anyone. What's he saying here? Isaiah is saying, I am a man of what? Unclean lips. He's pointing to his own fact that something is not right. That the responsibility lies not outside. Responsibility lies within my heart, in your heart. And yes, he says, but I also dwell. I understand that I dwell around people, in the midst of people that, right, what? That they also have unclean lips. And we've all, probably all been in the jobs and the market here, and we hear a lot of junk, don't we? A lot of stuff going, being spoken, and, you know, and it's just like, oh, and we're bombarded. You see it in television, you see it in any media, anything. It's just we're bombarded by unclean things, amen? But we need to remember, as we looked at last week, that we need to look within ourselves and make sure that it's not coming first from us. And in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." And I thought I heard God speaking specifically with regards to this verse, that this is really a picture of the world. That, you know, here he was speaking to Isaiah that you know, though they are hearing, but yet they don't understand. They're hearing, but that hearing is not producing an understanding. They may be seeing things, but they're not perceiving. They're not understanding, perceiving what they are seeing, the truth. And the hearts of people becoming dull. The ears are heavy. And in other words, the ears are full of stuff, and they're not hearing. The things are not able to penetrate their understanding. And that is just such a picture of the world today. You know, the people might be hearing the word of God. And, you know, certainly, you know, many, there are people that go to church, there are people, and yet they're not perceiving, they're not understanding. Things are not making a difference in their lives. Amen? That the word of God is not penetrating, it's not changing them. And that's what I you know, as we go through this series, I want us to understand that this is a predicament. And And we need to make sure that we're not in this. And I love that the last part of this is that thought that if we hear and we understand with our heart, and that if we see with our eyes, in other words, when we open ourselves up to the truth that is being put out there, the truth of God, what does God say? And then we return, we open ourselves up. What will happen? Healing. It's a clear. The one side is that if we don't open up our hearts, if we don't open up our ears, if we don't perceive, we're not going to have that healing. This land is not going to have that healing until that heart, the heart of people, realize and understand that the problem lies deep within each and every person's heart. And that's the key. That's the key for healing for our land. It's a key for healing in our families and those that we know that are not walking with the Lord or may have walked with the Lord and have walked away. The key is the heart. And our theme verse, if you remember, I just want to kind of repeat this verse as we're going along. It's in John 3:30, which says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And I, if you remember, I focus on that must. This is not optional. This is an imperative. This is something that we must do if we are to go on and become more and more like Christ, more and more surrendered to God. We must decrease. And we will look at more, what does that actually mean for us in our life? As we go through this series, what does that mean to decrease so that he might increase in us? And so today, I've entitled this sermon today, The Battle of Two Natures. The Battle of Two Natures. And there's a struggle within each and every one of us of two natures. And we're going to look at that this morning. And James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" It should be noted that who was James speaking to? Was he speaking to the world? He was speaking to spirit-filled believers. And so when you begin to, you say, well, I don't have two natures here. I have the nature of Christ, right? And yes, that is true. But as we go through this study, we're going to see that each and every one of us have two natures that reside in us. And that's going to as we understand that, going to give us more understanding of where our struggles truly come from and how, and eventually we're going to learn how are we to overcome the struggle between these two natures. There truly is a war going on within us, and it's that selfish desires within our heart, self-centeredness. And Genesis chapter 25, verses 22 and 23 says, "But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" And obviously, this is speaking of Rebecca, who was pregnant, and she found out that she was having twins. And we know the story. If you remember the story, she had twins, Esau, who came first, and then Jacob. And if you remember the story of these two brothers, what happened to Esau? He became hungry one day, remember? And because of that appetite, because he was so hungry, he sold his birthright to his brother Jacob over a fleshly desire, a meal. He sold something very important. And I want to, this particular, obviously speaking of two natural people, but these two people in the Bible, Esau and Jacob, represent two types of people, or in what the Bible says, two types of natures that are found in people. Jacob represents the spiritual, and Esau represents the carnal. And so within this picture, we're going to understand that there's two types of natures within each and every one of us that are struggling against each other. There's a carnal, fleshly nature, and then there's that nature of Christ, the spiritual. And this has been a battle from the very beginning, the battle of the spiritual versus the carnal, the natural. And so we need to see that there are these two types of things taking place. And, you know, and keep that in mind as we go through this study, as we go through the sermon, that this is a real battle. There's a battle in the physical. There's a battle in the spiritual. We have two natures. And we want to look at a couple of verses, passages here. Let's first of all look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 John 1, chapters 8 and 9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I'm sure many of us have read this time and time again and said, surely, I mean, I would never say I have no sin in me. But so what is this actually saying? This is actually pointing to the fact that, you know, we can't say that we have no sin, because every one of us, this is speaking of that sin nature that resides in each and every one of us. It's that sin nature that is in us, and that we can't say that we have no sin, because there is that nature that is there. It's always there. And this verse is saying if we deny that nature, we're being deceitful. We're deceiving. We've been deceived by the enemy. And the truth is not in us. So the truth is that we have this nature in us, every one of us. Even though we are Christians, we have accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we've been saved, this nature is still there. Amen? Everyone clear about that? This isn't new. This is something that we should all understand. And so the Word of God clearly states that there is this sin nature within us. But I love this, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So keep that in mind, that we have this nature, it's battling in there, but God is promising that he is faithful and just to help us to overcome this nature. That's his promise to every one of us. And so, but only we can only receive that forgiveness, we can only receive that cleansing if we understand that nature needs to be dealt with. That nature is in us, and that God needs to deal with that nature. Our confession will open that door for God to deal with that nature. You know, Jeremiah 17:9, I believe I mentioned this last week. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And, you know, I brought that up last week, that there's things in our heart that we truly do not know. I remember in Bible school, I had a professor that he harped on this every time, that we really don't know truly everything that is in our hearts until God reveals it, until there's a revelation from God. And until we come to that place and ask God to reveal, we're going to struggle. We're going to struggle. And the focus always is on our own hearts. I want us to remember that our focus needs to be on our own hearts, not what's going on around us. Now, you know, the enemy, you know, he's out there. Yeah, he's causing havoc. But we need to deal with something that we can deal with. We can't, what's outside there, we can't deal with. What we can deal with is our own hearts. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." And I love this. This is one of my favorite verses. And the thought here is that where there's no revelation, where we don't have a revelation from God, what happens? What happens to people? They cast off that restraint. They go their own way. They allow that old nature to take root. They allow that old nature to usurp the authority in their life without revelation. So my encouragement to us today is that we need to seek the revelation of God daily. Are you seeking his revelation for your life? We need to be intentional about this. "But happy is he who keeps the law of God." And how do we keep the law of God? We keep the law of God by obeying his word, by spending time, allowing his word to permeate, to do its work in our life. That's how we obey the law of God. We acknowledge, and then we walk according to his word. And then 1 John 3:9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And I said, uh-oh. Anyone else had trouble with this verse? Because it's like, wait a minute. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. And I was like, so I know I've accepted the Lord, but I know that I fall. I know that I've missed the mark time and time again. So what is this verse saying? If we don't understand the two natures within us, we will misunderstand what this verse is saying to all of us. And we would be discouraged because as soon as we sin, we're like, oh, I may not be saved. I may not be actually a Christian, right? Anyone else thought about that because of this verse? So what is this verse saying? This verse is basically saying, and again, pointing to that nature, that other nature that is within us. This is not speaking of that old nature that is still there, that still sins. This is speaking of the nature of God that comes into us when we are born again. And it's saying that his nature, the nature of God, his spirit within us is what keeps us from sinning. Very clear. Amen? Two natures. The old nature is a one, it's carnal, it's flesh. It's a one that we are born with. It's been passed on from the fall to every person that's born in the flesh. It's that old nature that's passed on from generation to generation. It's a sinful, carnal nature that we have. We come to Christ, we accept him, we surrender our life, he becomes Lord of our life, and then his nature, through the Holy Spirit, comes into us. But then what happens? The battle begins between these two natures. Anyone experience that battle between the two natures within you? The good, the nature, the spiritual nature of God, and the carnal nature of that fallen man. And so we keep that, that's a very important verse, because as we look at the remedies, and we're probably going to look at that next week. I had like 10 pages of notes, and I said, there's no way I'm going to get through all this today. So we're going to look at just the nature today, and then next week, we're going to look at what are the remedies? How do we go from knowing these natures that are within us, how do we overcome? What is a remedy for us to overcome that old nature and to allow that Christ nature to be dominant in our life? So Romans 7, verses 13 through 23 is probably one of the most apt passages that really describe the struggle within us. And as we read this, you're probably going to like, yeah, that's me. I've been there. I've done that. And too often, I've been in that situation. So let's read Romans 7, verses 13 through 23. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that is, it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin dwells in me. I find then that a law, that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's a mouthful. Amen. But it's a really good picture of that battle between these two natures, the fallen Adamic nature that we are born with, that we carry, that we've been caring for since we've been born in this world. And then that nature of Christ that now dwells in us as believers. And, you know, and here, this is Paul, and he's just describing the struggles that this is the Apostle Paul struggling. If he's struggling, man, no wonder I struggle. And yet he's coming, he's trying to understand and the things that are going on within him. And why? And is there any hope? Is there any hope? You know, he finds his law, the law of sin and death that's in his members that fallen. Evil is present within him. And you know, he tries to do good, but it just creeps up. And you know, I described that last week, that you know, you're going along, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden you slip up. You say something, you do something, and someone points out, and you're a Christian? You're a Christian, and look what happened to you? And you're like, and you feel like devastated, because it's like, you know, it's bad enough that you do it in secret, but now it's like the world is watching. And so how do we come to grips with this battle, this war that takes place? And we have to understand, really, that these two natures that are within us, they're warring within us, and understand what God has in store for each and every one of us. You know, sin, that old sinful nature can be very powerful. Anyone understand that old sinful nature can be very powerful? It can be, you know, old habits are hard to break, and that old sinful nature is really a force to be reckoned with. But I want to encourage us as we go through this, that there is a way. There is a way that God has for each and every one of us, so that we don't need to struggle anymore with his old nature. And as we look at this, we're going to be like rejoicing, because we're going to be kicking that old nature out of the picture. Get out of here. He's going to be reckoned dead by the end of this. You know, there is at the focus of the fall, the old nature is this, really this thought of a self-centered life. When you look at all the problems that we face, all the problems in this world, at the very bottom, at the foundation of everything that we struggle with, that the world struggles with, is this very thought of a self-centered life. And it was right from the beginning. If you remember, Lucifer, Satan, in the Garden of Eden, what he fell because he wanted to be like God or as God. And then when he attempted Eve, what did he say? Here's this fruit. What will it do? It'll make you what? Like God. It'll make you intelligent like God. And so this whole thing, underlying this whole fallen nature, is this thought of self-centered. I want to be at the center of life. I want to be as God. And that's what, really, you look at the world, they are living as if they are their own God, their own ways. So conclusion here is that we had this old nature before we were saved. It was there. And when we got saved, guess what? It didn't just vaporize, vanish out from our life. It's still there. It still needs to be dealt with. And the only difference is now we have the nature of Christ. We have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And that's going to be very important as we walk through this. And so I want to just close in a couple of verses here. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." And so despite the fact that we have this old nature, we need to remember that we are kept by God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Thought here is we are to rest. We can't change ourselves. We, in our own efforts, would not be able to deal with that old nature. Amen? Anyone try to deal with that old nature on your own strength? It doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. We need God's power. We need God's help to overcome the old nature. And the thought also here is, you know, not conforming ourselves to that nature, but we are to be conformed to what? The nature of Christ in us. And we are to be holy. And you know what? This thought of holy, it literally means to be what? Separated unto God. And so the key for us as we go through this is that we need to be separated from one to the other. It's very simple. It's very simple. Separate. We need to separate ourselves from one and be attached to the other. Separate from the old nature and attached to the new nature. And the degree that we make that shift is a degree that we will grow, is a degree that we will experience a freedom in our life like never before. And then Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, finally. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And so the key for us, brothers and sisters, there is a place that we have in this. Work, it's not saying that God is working out the salvation. We are to work out our own salvation. It's not, we don't earn salvation. We've already saved. But we're to progressively work out that salvation, that imparted righteousness of Christ becomes more and more seen in our life. We are seeing that we have victories over those things that we've struggled with. The old nature becomes less and less of a problem in our life because we are working, as we work out our salvation in the fear of God. And the fear of God is we're keeping our focus, we're keeping our attention. When we fear God, we're saying, God, I can't change me, but I'm putting myself into your hands because I know you can change me. You can take that old nature and you can make it decrease. Again, coming back to that, is our theme verse. I must decrease so that he can increase. And we do that by making that shift, fearing God. And when we fear God, we're saying, God, it's you that's going to do this change, but I need to put my feet, I need to be intentional to make sure that I'm in that place that he can work. Is this very clear, beginning to be very clear for us? And my hopes is as we go through this, that we can begin to start seeing that old nature, that nature that many of us probably have saying, where did that come from? Where did that, those thoughts, that those actions, where did that come from? They came from that old nature. And why? Why do they keep cropping up? Because that old nature is still alive. It's still kicking at times. And we need to make sure that thing doesn't kick anymore. That old nature doesn't kick, doesn't have any more life. And so that is the goal of this is to, let's strangle all the life out of that old nature. Amen? And let's allow the increase of his nature, of his life, to be fully in control, fully in operation in our life. And then, brothers and sisters, we will experience a freedom like never before. We won't struggle. We won't have those struggles like Paul said, you know, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't do, I should be doing, I don't do. But we will be doing. We will be doing with freedom. We'll be doing with no thought because we're going to be so in tune with the nature of Christ in us. And that other one will be gone. The other one will be dead. He'll be out of the picture. He'll still be hanging there, but you know what? He's dead. He's a corpse. He's, you know, and what happened? You know, do dead people, do they say anything? No. Do they move? No. And so when that old nature is truly dead, it's not moving. It's not operating. It's not speaking to us. The only one that's speaking to us is the nature and the person of Christ. Amen.